Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
Real bread.
Well, no, you make French to make traditional, like, nonsense white people French toast.
I don't eat traditional nonsense white people food. Nothing American. Nothing about American cuisine is good. Everything about American cuisine is bad. It's all horrible for you. It's got almost no nutrients.
Oh, man. Good cheeseburger.
Said, nothing about American food is good for you.
Steak and eggs. That's
actually, steak and eggs, out of all of the things mentioned, that actually is a good thing for you.
Yeah. Get some steak, get some eggs.
Steak and eggs with nothing, like no hash browns, no bread. No.
You got to get a little bit of hash browns
in
there.
Steak and eggs is
good. Maybe some bacon.
Bacon also no. Didn't you hear bacon's as bad as cigarettes these days?
They always say that. They'll go back and forth. I mean, cigarettes, but I mean, like, bacon, they'll be like, it's terrible for you.
I'm sure they
said, good for you.
I'm sure the same thing was said when they were first like, cigarettes might be bad for you.
Nah. Well, I mean, yeah, but I mean,
some dude was like, nah, they'll go back on that.
Cigarettes have been consistently bad for you.
My doctor said Camel brand is what's good for you.
For, like, consistently for, like, the last 30 years, people have said cigarettes is bad for you.
Bacon will be there, too. It's nitrates, man. The act of curing meat isn't necessarily a dangerous thing, but the way that we've brought it into the processed world is what's dangerous.
Bacon, they go back and forth. Like, every 5 years, it's like, bacon's good, bacon's bad.
Nitrates are always bad.
It's like when they went through, like, that phase in the 90s where everything with eggs was bad for you.
Well, they were determining new things. That's the thing. Just like any other scientific field, it's constantly changing.
I agree, and that's what I'm saying. It's like, I don't think they're... I think they're going to go back and forth with bacon. I love bacon.
I mean, you're just trying to convince yourself. Because you can't face the reality.
I don't need to convince myself.
You can't face the reality that it's bad for you. I also don't like bacon. So
that's what I'm saying. It's like you don't like bacon. So what's the point there?
It doesn't affect me that much.
Yeah,
but
you leave me my bacon, you ISIS lover.
It's ISIL. Thank you.
Whatever. Same thing.
Pretty much.
Yeah, hold on a second. Let me bring up my notes. Hey, everyone. Welcome to Game Classy. I'm your host, Joe, and with me, as always, is the King Haggard to my Prince Lear.
Ooh.
Right. How about a Last Unicorn? The Last Unicorn. I got that on Blu-ray for my daughter, and I've been watching it a couple times this week. It's
I remember enjoying it when I was really little.
It's all right.
There's like a giant beast. That, like,
yeah, the
that
bull.
That chases the unicorn.
The red bull, yeah.
I assume... It's not out to kill the unicorn. It's out to bang it.
It's actually out to herd it into the water is what it's out to do.
I see.
Because it's got, you know, Christopher Lee's all like, I love the unicorns and I have to have all of them. I can't do a Christopher Lee, but that's...
No one can do a Christopher Lee.
So, actually, I got some notes about stuff that's been bothering me over the a couple things that are coming out, new stuff today, and some stuff that's been bothering me lately. However, before we begin... The Expanse.
Your little doodly boop is...
it's fine.
All right, there you go.
Have you been watching it?
I have not. I've been waiting to hear about it first, because it looked really good.
Okay, so let me convince you to watch this show.
Oh, no, I wanted to watch it, but
Let me sell you on it.
Oh, okay.
All right, so I saw the previews for this show. I was like, this show looks like bullshit. This looks terrible. But then I started hearing the buzz on, like, some of the sci-fi boards I go on to. And I was like, okay, I'll give it a try.
I heard it's Game of Thrones in space.
No. Okay. Well, I'm not going to say it the way until after I convince you, then I'll tell you what it really is. All right, so the basic plot is this. Humanity has branched out off Earth. Basically, we've colonized Mars and the asteroid belt. Mm-hmm. Now, Mars is independent, so Earth and Mars are kind of in a cold war.
Like Gundam.
A little bit. Okay, not quite as Gundam-y as Gundam. But Earth and Mars are in a cold war. But the funny thing is that when you get into it, the politics of Earth and Mars are very, very similar. It's just ideology like this. No, they're Earth. Fuck them. No, they're Mars. Fuck them. So it doesn't really matter in the end. But the asteroid belt has been colonized as well by both Earth and Mars. In Ceres Station, Ceres is the largest asteroid in the asteroid belt, a planetoid, if you will, is nominally under Earth control. And there's, like, a whole faction who wants independence for the asteroid belt. And on the asteroid belt, a man named Thomas Jane is a cop who stumbles onto a bigger mystery about to spark off a hot war between Earth and Mars by this mysterious third party. Very, very cool. That's one of the plots. The second plot is there's a
It sounds a lot like Gundam.
there's a spaceship who's who inadvertently sparks off this war, and it talks about the survivors of that crew and like their misadventures, like trying to just stay alive. While all of this nonsense is happening between Earth and Mars, it follows a couple different storylines. It's fantastic. Some of the best sci-fi I've seen in years. Have I sold you on it yet?
I mean, I kind of want to see it. I already was interested.
Yeah. No, definitely check it out. Excuse me. So the way I'd like to describe it as, it's Babylon 5 without all the bullshit special effects and aliens. It's just that really great political intrigue with some really cool special effects and like spaceship battles and stuff like that. It's really cool. Thomas Jane's character is pretty cool, even though he's very Thomas Jane-y.
That's a selling point.
For you, that's a selling point. For me, not so much. I'm not a huge Thomas Jane fan to begin with. The only problem I have with the show is the acting is very Canadian. It's like you could tell that it's filmed probably in Vancouver, like all of those cable shows are, because you see a lot of people and you're like, oh, this person's obviously Canadian. This person's obviously Canadian.
But that's just your pro-American racism shining through.
Not necessarily. I watch a lot of shows on Sci-Fi and USA and whatever else, other cable networks, and I'm just like, you see the same people. Like, because I've been watching the X-Files reboot. Or not reboot, but the new season of the X-Files.
I want to. I need to rewatch the original X-Files. It's been too long.
It's the first episode's really great, but the second episode, when they put Mulder in a suit, you're just like, oh, he does not look good in that suit. He looks old. But I noticed like three character actors who are like from other shows, including one who was on X-Files multiple times, who's a Canadian actress. And I'm just like, oh man, this show's also refilmed in Vancouver again. God damn it.
Filmed on location in sunny Vancouver.
Yeah. There was a couple times on that X-Files where I was just like, this.
It's just like Are You Afraid of the Dark? That's a Canadian show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, when you watch enough TV.
I wonder if the Goosebumps show was a Canadian,
probably,
too.
All yeah, probably. Unless it's, like, a real, like. Unless it's, like, a network show, it's probably Goosebumps. Filmed in Canada.
Goosebumps was on Fox.
Yeah, but Fox isn't really a network.
Yeah, I don't know. Fox is a corporate amalgamation of liberal entertainment programming and evil conservative viewpoints.
Well, yeah, of course. Well, all it is it's that Fox creates controversy, gets fined, and then in order to get fined, the money has to get funneled into a nonprofit in order to pay off the fine. So what does it go to? It goes to Republican-based, what's the word I'm looking for? Charities. And so that basically what it is just a way for Rupert Murdoch to funnel his money through charities.
Conspiracy. I hope that guy dies soon.
It doesn't matter. He's got enough fingers and pies.
I know.
People.
I just hope he dies. Like, I just don't want him to exist anymore.
Yeah. Conspiracy. Scully, there's a greater conspiracy out there. What if everything we were told was wrong? What about the unsolved mysteries of unsolved mysteries?
Man, that's a show I haven't seen in forever.
Simpsons?
Unsolved Mysteries.
Oh, yeah.
they used to run that in, they would run that for hours and hours.
Well, I always like the Unsolved Mysteries where they talk. I like when they
That's a really hard one theme to do because it's so synth.
Yeah, I would really like. I liked always, like, when they would talk about UFOs or, like, lake monsters and shit like that. Then they'd be like, this person brutally murdered 8 people. And there's a little, like, 7-year-old me going, like, this is not what I signed up for, Dad.
I just watch it, and I would always be like, ooh.
Ooh.
Be like, that's why they didn't get away with it. Well, I'll log that into my archives. We'll bring it back. I figure I'll eventually just be the perfect criminal because
you've absorbed enough knowledge.
I've absorbed all of the information on how all of the other ones were caught, and I could be like, every contingency has been accounted for.
Well, my grandma was a big fan of America's Most Wanted. Yeah, I watched a lot of America's Most Wanted. That show was depressing.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, the way to get away with a murder is you have to just arbitrarily decide to commit a murder, and that's not how, in general, that's not how murders are done.
Yeah. What was it? I was reading up on that the cannibal guy in Germany. Mm. God, I can't remember his name, but he's the very famous one who advertised like, "Please come over, I want to eat you. This is what it's going to be." And the guy came over and they ate each other, he ate him essentially is what it was. It was a big news story. Yeah, 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 you remember about it. And he was saying like, I guess in an interview, that there's like some 800 cannibals active in Germany. I'm like, that's a lot of cannibals active in Germany.
Yeah, cannibalism, that's dangerous, man.
You get the kuru.
Yeah.
You get the prion disease.
Yeah, I don't want any prion disease.
I know, I'm like, you know, I've said on the podcast before, I'll eat anything, but brains is the one thing I really stay away from. You gotta be careful with brains. Brains. All right, so let's talk some gaming stuff. As long as we are doing a gaming podcast, we might as well.
Yeah, that's what I heard. That's the rumor anyway.
Yeah, okay. So let's start off with the one that really just piqued my interest was the Walking Dead minis game from Mantic. Mm-hmm. The minis are looking really good on it.
Well, I was the one big pro for me on that game is that it's not players versus zombies.
No, it's not.
It's player versus player.
Yeah.
Zombies are a stage hazard, which is sweet. That's a really good idea because it's a... I'm sure that idea was born from the fact that there are so many fucking zombie games out right now.
Yeah.
And that's unique. There's no zombie game out that I'm aware of where it's the players are focused on fighting each other's humans while zombies are wandering about the board.
Which is much more thematic to the actual TV show.
Yeah.
Where it's always like, Dad, it looks like we were the real Walking Dead the entire time.
Yeah, minus the first season where it is actually like... The players versus the zombies.
Yeah.
The players, obviously. The
NPCs versus zombies.
Then there's actually, you know, player versus player, which is the whole focus of The Walking Dead later.
What are you watching on the TV right there?
That's Mission Hill.
Mission Hill. Okay, good. But yeah, the minis look really good, and the Mantic got some like really good people up there to paint them up and do it. You know, some people on the Facebook page were complaining that, like, Mars Attacks. Mars Attacks looked really great, even though I didn't even think it looked...
I thought the miniatures in person looked like they did in the pictures.
Yeah, I didn't think they were anything spectacular. They looked exactly like it
I
was.
Thought they looked the same. I don't know, maybe I missed something, but like they had the clear helmets, they had the ridges on their armor. Like they weren't really detailed sculpts. So I wasn't don't you dare quote the Tim Burton piece of shit. See, that I don't know if we've discussed that before, but Mars Attacks.
I know you like the card game.
It's not a card game, just cards. It should have just been serious. Tim Burton shit all over that movie. Also, it was a bad movie.
It was not a good movie.
In addition to being a very poor interpretation of the source material, it was also a bad movie.
Who could have expected that a movie based upon a series of Topps trading cards could have been bad,
you
Steve?
Know, they could have done it, and it could have been a good movie.
Yeah.
It could have been done.
No, but
You can't judge what a movie's going to be based on its source material, because Guardians of the Galaxy is a stupid fucking comic.
Oh, it's terrible, yeah.
Terrible comic, and it was a good movie.
Yeah, well, okay. So the original idea for Guardians of the Galaxy was pretty terrible, but when they did the... God, what the...
Jurassic Park?
No, they did a comic book series that was pre the movie, and now I can't think of what it's called. It's very, very good, and I have the three hardcovers at home, and I know... I see the fucking title in my head, and I can't, like... It's like...
Is it a Marvel comic?
Yeah, it's Marvel. Oh, and it's like proto-Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay, yeah,
it's very, very, very good.
I don't follow the big two.
Yeah. I would... If I can remember the name, I'll put it up or something or other, but when I get home, whatever have you. But it was very good, and it was proto-Guardians of the Galaxy. You saw a lot of what was going on there. And plus, James Gunn is just a great director.
Right. But that's the thing.
Yeah.
The statement is simply just source material does not necessarily translate into bad or good based on you know, what it is.
Yeah. I mean, like, the Lego movie, it was pretty good. I mean, a lot of people really liked it. It's based off Legos.
Yeah, which I don't really have a story or anything.
No, no, no. And they did it very well. But then you have something like Battleship, based off a board game, which was a shit movie.
Yes.
Or you have Clue, based off a board game. Amazing movie.
Yeah, it's a very fun movie. Just wait, there's Monopoly supposedly coming out.
Ooh, we're going to have... Are you auditioning for Uncle Pennybags or Moneybags or whatever his name is?
I want to... hope that movie is just a real, like, normal movie where everyone's a real person except for Uncle Moneybags, who's just a terrifying CG construct.
Well, if
people are just like, what the fuck is wrong with this guy? And he's just like, look out, you gotta get down to Wanston Avenue. I gotta pick that up, put some hotels there, and make myself a real fortune. You're going to jail, sonny.
Well, if you've been following the Republican primary, it's pretty much just been the Monopoly, the miniseries. So.
The Monopoly man?
Yeah, it's Donald Trump. Don't you know that?
Trump doesn't have facial hair.
I know. Well, it's on his head. That's the thing.
Trump. The fact that he is leading so heavily in the polls makes me, I was already disappointed and embarrassed by my country.
Yeah.
But hopefully now you, who is so pro-America, could actually take a look at yourself and realize you've been a fool all this time.
Yeah, I'm super pro-America, but I'm probably the most liberal guy that you'll ever meet. I would just like it if Donald Trump went at the end of, like, the Republican, like, he wasn't at the last debate, but the debate before, he was just like, Trump out! He jumps and he chops in, like, a little metal car and, like, drives away.
The little Spacely Sprocket car?
Yeah, no, the car from Monopoly.
Just a replica?
Yeah, just so, like a straight-up replica.
Just, like, crunches
a little
into
one-seater.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah.
And Ted Cruz can leave wearing a thimble on his head.
Thimble. Top hat. There's a top hat.
No, nope. Thimble.
Is there? There's no top hat in the... I swear there's a hat in the... Wait, hold on. Hold on. We're going to look this up.
Nope.
Because
there's a battleship. There's a dog.
There's an iron.
There's a thimble. There's an iron. There's a car.
Okay, let me just see this.
There is a hat, but it's not a top hat.
Okay. Now you're getting...
It's a derby.
No, it's a top. Yeah, well, there you go. You can see. And there's the doggy. Don't forget the doggy.
Oh, yes. Can't forget the Scotty dog.
That's a top hat.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I consider stovepipe is what I think of whenever anyone says.
Yeah, you fool! You're wrong again! RC, now this?
No, I wasn't wrong about RC.
I was just mad at you guys because I was like sitting there listening to the podcast while I was driving, and you guys are sitting there like, I don't remember her name. You know,
I remember RC.
The chick transformed. Oh, no, yeah, that's what you said. You couldn't remember the name of the weird, cute, furry cat from Heathcliff.
Right.
And
that's the name I couldn't remember.
Yeah, but then
you got me
like,
on that one.
I don't know what RC transformed into. It's in the name.
Well, no, because it's a pink car and it's big. And like I said in our text conversation, Transformers already established that if something transforms into something, it goes to that size. Like Soundwave transforms into a boombox-sized boombox. Megatron transforms into a gun-sized gun. So how would she be an RC car?
Conservation of mass.
She transforms into a car that's large enough for Danny to fit into.
Well, you could make RC cars can be pretty big.
Daniel. Yeah, RC cars are not that big though. They're not people get into them and ride
around. I understand,
size.
But I mean, like the fact that you couldn't remember that she transformed into a car, even.
No, that I knew, but it was like what kind of car was it?
It was one of those weird late G1 Transformer. Yeah.
It was funny. You said that only weebs would know her name, and her name is just RC. Except it's Asian, so it'd be RC. Yeah. So.
Oh, so many bad jokes came to my head, which I cannot repeat on this podcast. So back to The Walking Dead really quick, though. I know that's interesting, at least for my play group, because Tim Lyson has been begging us to do a zombie game forever.
Oh, like a minis game or like a board game?
No, a minis game. He's been wanting us to do a straight up, like he wants to do post-apocalypse, and I think this would be great because he wants to do a lot of... all games that we do in our mini group has to run through him because he makes all of the terrain for us. And as you know, not our fans, so to speak, but Tim makes gorgeous terrain.
Obviously.
He's
professional.
Yeah, he wants to do, like, modern, like, supermarkets or, like, modern ruin stuff.
You want some Wreckage figures?
Yeah, well, they would work, probably.
I've got Wreckage. I sell them to you at a super cheap price.
Why do you have Wreckage?
They were in a collection of stuff that I'm trying to sell still. And I tell you, I've encountered the strangest thing. I thought that the fantasy models would be sitting forever, and I'd take and the 40K stuff would go like that, like a snap.
No.
I sold the fantasy model. Every fantasy army I sold in the first week.
Yeah.
I'm still sitting on the 40K shit.
A lot of people are dumping 40K right now. For some odd, I don't know the exact reason why. There's no real reason why it should be... A lot of people are dumping it right now. Unless there's something in the metagame, I don't know about what's happening. But I do know that fantasy, people are still...
Every one of them was sold to a Kings of War player.
Yeah. Kings of War, a lot of people are picking up Kings of War. And the new Kings of War supplement just came out, too.
The extra armies.
Yeah, the... But it's like I didn't see any army lists in there. I just saw
there's the shadow creatures are in there, and like there's a couple other ones.
Yeah, Because I know they were putting out the new army, and they were putting out new special characters, new scenarios, new magic items and things like that were going to be in the new book. Yeah, I haven't had a chance to thumb through it.
But this is the first of the new lists book. This is the it has the rest of the elemental forces and shit in it.
Ah, the elemental forces. Well, yeah, and no, but the important thing to mention is that no one is buying fantasy armies to play fantasy unless you're playing, like, still playing 8th, 7th, or 6th.
Which no one is doing. People said they were going to do that, but no one's doing that.
Yeah, I play on occasion.
Well, yeah, but that doesn't count.
On occasion. Yeah, I know it doesn't. It's not, I'm not the typical gamer. And while I am the typical gamer in a lot of ways.
I'm not your typical gamer.
However, it's what was it, 38 degrees out right now, which is unusually warm for February, which means we're getting a massive snowstorm in the next 2 weeks. But I did see a fat guy with a beard out walking in shorts and flip-flops, so that's how you know it's Chicago winter. That's a typical gamer right there. Oh, why should I wear long pants? Well, because...
I never wear shorts. I hate shorts.
I love shorts.
I see someone in shorts, and I assume they're psychotic. I'm just like, what the fuck's wrong with you, dude? Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I like wearing shorts and flip-flops as well, but I have lost...
Case in point.
I have lost 30 pounds, though,
it's got nothing to do with their weight. I just look at them, and I'm just like... like, shorts, whoa. Unless it's a lady, then she can wear all the shorts she wants.
I like shorts that have elastic waistbands, so it's easy for me to like, just take off all of my clothes when I get home.
I just wear sweatpants.
Well, I do wear sweatpants, too, but you don't wear sweatpants when you go out. Wearing sweatpants is worse than wearing shorts.
No way, baby.
Yeah,
you gotta, all the way. You got to let everyone know you don't give a fuck.
Fuck, okay.
So when you're out in a too-tight t-shirt and sweatpants, people will be like, that guy is dangerous.
That guy. Don't mess with that guy.
Yeah, I'm going to stay away from that gentleman. He's unhinged.
There's two types of people two types of men who wear sweatpants out and about. The one who just doesn't give a fuck and has given up on life. And the second one are people who have had a kid within the last 2 months who also have given up on life at that point.
There's also the person who's wearing the full sweatsuit.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a different person altogether. That's a whole nother animal. I'm just talking about sweatpants.
Or a tracksuit.
Yeah. All right, so...
Wow, an actual fit Italian man wearing a tracksuit. I don't think I've ever seen that before.
Oh, man. So, let's see, where else? This I did... Okay.
Zombies?
Zombies! Zombies, Coral!
I still stand by. I can make my Zombies game.
Zombies.
On motorcycle zombies.
Yeah, that would work. I'd at least look at it, talk about it on my podcast, chuckle at it, and not buy it.
I'd make it a card game, though, so you'd be immediately biased.
Okay.
Which is fine, though, because I actually want to sell it.
Yeah, well, there you go, yeah. So let's talk real quick about, Kevin wanted us to talk about the D&D open IP thing. What was that, the 5th edition?
Open game license, OGL.
The open game license.
It's good. I mean, that's something that needs to be there for the other... producers of content for D&D,
Sword and Sorcery could finally put out a new book.
Well, so many of those companies like don't exist anymore, mm-hmm. and most of them just continued writing their own books for Pathfinder instead, because Pathfinder never changed, running off the same OGL for forever. So most people who were writing supplements for D&D, rather than trying to go into 4th, they just kept writing supplements for Pathfinder.
But
now that 5th is such a huge success, they can start writing some fifth books as well.
Well, I mean, now that they're officially opening up Ravenloft into the D&D world, I think they're going to be a little bit more open. I like the fact that D&D is being very selective in what they're putting out, and they're taking some time in it. I want more.
I like the reduced amount of books.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
But I don't like the razor-thin amount of content, because it's all Forgotten Realms.
Yeah. Well,
like,
I mean...
Fuck, dude. Forgotten Realms. Jesus Christ.
Do you think
you're
going to put Ravenloft in Forgotten Realms?
Well, I mean, Ravenloft is a cool setting to choose for anything, because it is all settings.
Yeah,
because you're like, oh, we're playing Greyhawk, but it's like, nope, you're in Ravenloft.
All right, now fight Vecna. Oh, god damn it!
Right, because Ravenloft is the realm you go to.
Yeah,
you
know, it's like,
I don't think very few. I mean, you can obviously, because you can do whatever you want, but I think most games go to Ravenloft rather than start in Ravenloft.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's like you guys are just waking up from your night, and
right, because I mean, in addition to
it's strangely still dark out, mists are descending around you. and you're in Ravenloft. God damn it!
Well, in addition to being a gothic horror, Ravenloft also has, like, the caveman land, which has, like, dinosaurs and cavemen and shit. And I believe a lich rules over that land. Because every little pocket of Ravenloft is a prison for something. So, like,
something evil. Truly evil.
So the classic Ravenloft, like...
Strahd.
Is Strahd. That's his prison. So, like, that mist, he can't leave the mist. And, like, other people... When they go into the mist, they generally walk back out the other side and they're stuck in the same realm. But they're not permanently stuck because if you know how to traverse the mists, just like those gypsies do, which is how you go with them, you can go to the different realms of Ravenloft unless you're Strahd and you just can't. Yeah. Or if you're one of the other prisoners of the
mummy guy,
right.
The caveman
lich.
And
I think there's a sci-fi one as well.
I don't know off the top of my head.
It's been a long time since I've been super... Because most of the Ravenloft definitely focused on the gothic horror part. There was a lot of different
areas. In second, there was no sci-fi part. And I know it was never supported in third.
Ravenloft, no, it was in third.
No, well, no.
Or 3.5.
It may have been in 3.5, but I know Sword and Sorcery did all the stuff for Ravenloft in third.
Right, but I mean that was licensed. Like they licensed Ravenloft, so Wizards didn't produce it, but it's still considered.
It's not official to me, sir.
That is still considered official support.
Not official to me.
That's fine, but it is still official support. It has the name on it. That makes it official. Yeah. If it was Raven Soft,
that's what I call my penis.
That would be everyone does.
Everyone does.
That would be an unofficial supplement.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter who originated it, as long as it's branded as the official supplement. I count that as it were canon.
Yeah.
So, of course, the canon for a role playing game is not really relevant.
I think this is a good I shouldn't say leaping off point, but it's a good test for wizards to see if another realm is going to do well, so they might actually do something other than the realms.
Yeah, actually, you know, Scanderfani just sent me something about a dude who was saying who doesn't like Forgotten Realms.
Yeah.
And one of the points he made I thought was brilliant, which was Forgotten Realms is so Middle Earth. It's like got a huge Middle Earth kind of vibe to it
A little bit.
For D&D.
Yeah.
Like as close to Middle Earth as D&D gets, because like Greyhawk's insane. It's not anything close to Middle Earth.
No.
But like Forgotten Realms really has that where like there's no like active gods running around participating. There's like the Underdark, which is this really weird like whole nother world, and like Tolkien has that with like the underground places where the goblins and stuff live or the dwarves live.
Goblin town.
So like it's very Tolkien-esque. And if you're going to play that, why don't you just play a Tolkien RPG? Like, why don't you just play the One Ring?
Yeah.
Because, you know, if that's the style you want, because, like, I like fantasy. I love Tolkien fantasy. I love the high end, like, you know, this is like an epic adventure. But Tolkien fantasy.
The greatest adventure the world has ever known.
But Tolkien fantasy is more sensical than, like, Greyhawk. Because it totally is. Because there's minus Tom Bombadil. But Tom Bombadil's one thing. Like, there are so many different monsters in D&D.
Did you see? I'm not going to derail you, but that Peter Jackson actually rejected David Bowie to play Elrond.
That's legit.
It's legit, but everyone was like, no, David Bowie should have played Tom Bombadil.
David Bowie would have been able to find Tom Bombadil.
Oh, he should have played Tom Bombadil and Goldberry. Like, he just
And you know, if they could have done Goldberry, just a woman actor, but just superimpose Bowie's face.
Yes. I continue.
When you look at D&D, like there's so many creatures, like the ecology and environment of D&D doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't.
Because there's so many fucking monsters. It like is it's mind boggling. Like, yes, there's a ton of like Earth has a shit ton of animals, right?
Yeah.
Which is like, you know, there's a bajillion fucking animals. Like you can learn if you study animals and insects, you will learn that there's more species than you could ever possibly know.
Yeah.
There's just so much.
Mm-hmm.
Biodiversity is insane, which is fine. And some people have used that to argue for the favor of that many types of monsters in D&D. The difference between Earth's creatures and D&D's creatures is Earth's creatures are mostly small.
Yeah.
And not dangerous.
And herbivores.
Right. There's a huge, you know, like, but D&D has these. That has monsters that could basically nothing would stop them from being a top predator, like a boule.
Yeah.
Like there's nothing that's going to stop a boule from killing a small village.
No,
that's just not. They're just too strong. They have too many, like mechanics wise, they have literally too many hit points for a bunch of level zero characters to fend off, which means that a completely ravenous and dangerous monster like a boule would fucking breed uncontested in its environment and kill anything there. So if you wanted to do boule as like a realistic monster, you would have to have this like zone that they've extended to, like, that's, and for some reason something is preventing them from leaving that area, like, either like geographic terrain or a spell, and then that area would just be a fucking wasteland of Boulets killing each other.
Yeah.
Because they've killed everything else, so they're the only thing left. So then you actually, but that actually makes the Boulet more interesting, because you're like, oh, this is like the dead zone where the Boulet live. So if you want to, like, so then you have a epic story arc where it's like, you guys need to get to this other area, but in between you and that MacGuffin is the fucking Boulet zone.
It's the Boulet zone.
Yeah, it's like, oh shit, well, we've got to fight our way through. So like, yeah. And like, the monsters are sweet. Like, the, I love having all the access to all the monsters. It's super cool. But so many of them don't make fucking sense. And, you know, like, yeah, you can, you can make it make sense. Like, yeah. I just said, I thought the thing that just came up with Boulet is an interesting way to make that monster, A, make complete, like, lore sense, and B, have a cool, more engrossing challenge for it. And that's why I was saying the more realistic part of Tolkien's world is the, there are only so many monsters. They're not a lot. You know, there's wargs, spiders.
Yeah.
But all of Tolkien's monsters are intelligent.
Yeah.
So the spiders are smart. They talk. The wargs are smart. They talk. So if you add a human level of intelligence to something, they instantly become a little more, and I don't want to say believable, but like, it makes more sense that they're just not rampaging mindlessly around.
Yeah, because, no, you're absolutely right. And
like,
that's,
the wargs are like, we can't go in because when you give something intelligence, it then has self-preservation. It mm-hmm. becomes afraid to die. So the wargs are like, we're not all going to just mindlessly rush into Gondor because they have crossbows and catapults. They'll kill us. Like, we don't want to die. So we're just going to live here and survive here. And then when, like, the orcs come and they're like, Sauron's raising the army, the wargs are like, fuck yeah, dude, let's go fucking eat some men.
No, it makes perfect sense. I mean, Neil Stephenson in his book Rhymedeed made a pretty good argument. That book, the first half of that book is amazing. It's all about world building for an MMO. Mm-hmm. So it takes a lot from what you'd see in an RPG. But basically what he did was, this guy who creates this MMO is this super genius when it comes to, like, how this works. So what he does is he has to, in order to create the world first, he gets a bunch of geologists to say, like, how would this world form? What would the geologic features be?
Right.
What would the soil type be? Would that soil type have this type of plants or this type of plants? And then he gets botanists and all these people to build on top of it. So he creates a food chain inside the MMO to make it even more believable.
Yep. And that's what you do for D&D. You can take all of these cool monsters and just make a food chain. If you make a sensical food chain, got it down. And dungeons can get away with having random shit in it.
Yeah.
Because dungeons are inherently placed there by someone. So if a wizard wants to summon some fucking crazy-ass monster that shouldn't exist in this world, which other planar beings, there's a shit ton of the D&D monster manual is other planar, to be fair. Which means... And that's fair because they're not from our dimension.
Your passion on this is hysterical.
So other planar entities exist. They're a huge chunk of the monster manual, and that's fine. And those monsters are the ones that make sense to have a shit ton of them because you don't need to ever explain them sensically. Because the only reason they're here is because someone summoned them. They were ripped through a portal.
So what you're saying, Steve, is a wizard did it.
A wizard did it, or a god did it, or a demon did it.
I know. It's Simpsons. Once again, yeah.
But that's the thing. They are a legitimate wizard did it excuse. But you're also not supposed to fight a shit ton of those.
No.
You know, there's not supposed to be like 27 greater abyssal eye tyrants like floating around. You know, that's something you have your players fight once because there's only one on the fucking planet.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. And I like that. And that works out well. But, you know, you got to have some sort of reasonable monster ecology. Bugbears work, actually, because bugbears, you just replace bears.
Oh, yeah.
Because bears exist, and there's nothing inherently supernatural about a bugbear other than it's got an owl face and feathers. You know, it's not going to be it's not like those monsters that have, like, magic. You know, like a catalobipas. A catalobipas is one that's a little silly because it's got a really long neck. It kind of looks like a super, like, giraffe camel, except its head, instead of going vertically, it's horizontal. And it has an eye gaze attack that petrifies. It's not petrifies. It's death.
Yeah.
It has an eye gaze attack that kills. So it's an herbivore, but it has an eye gaze attack that kills. So that thing would just, again, spread uncontrollably because anything contesting its territory would just be dead. It's like, oh, you're a cougar? You're dead. So, you know, and that kind of thing is just not, that doesn't really make much sense. Although the Catalobipas was produced by a wizard, the thing existing was produced by a wizard.
So what you're saying is
so it's
a wizard did it.
What I'm saying is its existence is not contentious. What I'm saying is it's the amount you would see. So, like, the Catalobipas would completely overwhelm the area that it exists. It would graze. And then,
so what you're saying is we need to write an RPG that actually has a food chain, a realistic food chain with predators, top predators, as well as prey.
Right. You want to make the Catalobipas make sense? You need to have at least two predators that are bigger, stronger, and immune to its death attack.
It doesn't have to be bigger and stronger. It just has to be immune to it.
And it also to be able to kill. Like,
yeah, it has to be. Well, there's lots of things. Like, it could be smaller, but it could hunt in packs.
That's fair. But yes, you need to have something that's specifically immune to the Catalobipas eye attack. Just it has to be there, because otherwise it just spreads completely uncontrollably.
Now, do you have to look at the Catalobipas for the eye, or does it just have to look at you?
It's been a bit, but I believe the Catalobipas, it's an actual beam attack.
Oh, okay.
So you don't need to be, it's not like a basilisk where you can avert your gaze. I believe the Catalobipas is like, it looks at you, it makes an attack roll, you make a save, or you die.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, let's get off this. We got a lot more to talk about.
They're non-aggressive though, so maybe they would just graze around and only fucking I-beam things that attack them.
Some Kickstarter stuff. Nova Atis. I think this will be done by the time that we put it up.
Novatus.
Nova. Well, it's Nova Atis.
I know, but I was just saying Novatus.
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 Yeah, by Ludus Magnus Studios.
I am Novatus of Borg.
I was looking at this. It looks really cool. I mean, it's not necessarily my bag, but remember when what was that game that got screwed that we really liked? You remember the one where they lost
Torn Armor.
It looks a lot like Torn Armor. But the
hopefully they don't get involved with Defiant.
Yeah, but the figures look really cool. They got Pigmen. You want to see the Pigmen?
I mean, they're not going to beat the Pigmen of Wrath of Kings.
No, they will not beat the Wrath of Kings Pigmen. They're kind of cool though.
Oh, they're centaur pigmen.
Yeah.
That's kind of sweet.
Can you be a centaur pigman? Like, wouldn't a pig centaur have its own special name?
Pigtar, really. I mean, you would just... Or what's a... porcine, so it'd be like a portar.
Yeah, something like that.
Well, I mean, you would just take, like, some part of the Greek name of it and, like, add tar.
Yeah.
So, like, portar or, like... Yeah, I think that would be it. Or, you know, so, like... Because, a centaur is a centaur, not an equator.
Yeah,
I don't know where the sen comes from in centaur.
Yeah.
Does anyone know the taxonomy? Is taxonomy the right word?
Well, I mean, it would be 100. The kent means 100.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. I don't know. But that manticore looks sweet.
Yeah. The models look really cool.
Yeah, and it's based on, it's board-based, so you actually play on a standard... You know, not hex board, but like a square board. I don't know if you saw this when I was looking at it.
See, I don't know if taxonomy applies to fictional creatures.
No, taxonomy does not apply to fictional creatures. That's why they're fictional creatures, Steve. There's reasons why manticores don't actually exist in our real world, because it doesn't make any sense.
Or is there?
No, there's not.
All right, cool. I mean, I like. Novatus. Yeah, this game was super popular. This game made a shit ton of money, didn't it?
Yeah, it made a decent amount.
It's a board minis game. I honestly think the board... I don't know if we've talked about it before, I think the board minis game is the way of the future.
We've done this podcast for going on 3 years, Steve. We've talked about just about everything.
We've exhausted all topics. I mean, they made 150K out of 40K goal. Like, that's a chunk.
It's
no 3 million, but...
Yeah, it's admirable. It's not like it broke the bank, but it's a pretty cool system. I like what they did with it. So, I mean, I would look at it. This is definitely going to end before 7 hours from now.
Yeah, for sure. But it's like...
this is one that I saw. This is a Kickstarter that I saw that you would like. Let me open that up. There we go. This is the board game Super Meeples. A game upgrade kits by MeepleSource. Basically, any super popular game that's a board game out there right now, MeepleSource is like... created these specialized meeples for them that look fantastic. So you could like just scroll down, you could see it. I don't, none of the games I'm currently playing, speaking of which, hung out with Pat B last weekend. He was telling me he really liked Arabian Nights, the board game. And I was like,
Arabian Nights, like Arabian days. More often than not, it's hotter than hot.
something something ways.
So there you go. If you're interested in Arabian Nights, you've just got to go ahead from a guy who barely plays board games, but he likes just about everything he plays. So there you go.
The Imperial Settlers one, I like that.
Yeah, I mean, they're all really nice looking. And they're not really that expensive. I mean, if you're, like, really into a board game, like, you have a group that, like, loves a specific game, I would say that this is pretty worthwhile to do. But it's kind of expensive. I mean, you're adding a whole nother board game's worth of money into getting tokens for a game that you already have.
Oh, for sure.
So that's kind of a down thing. But if you have a game that you absolutely love, this would be a good way of helping out with it.
Also, a lot of times I can these kind of things are useful because they're backups as well. You're like,
yeah.
You're like, oh, fuck, I lost four of my spaceships. I really don't want to buy another copy of this game, but I really have to have four of those spaceships.
I have to have another Sun Sphere for my for Twilight Imperium.
Yes.
So you get a little Meeple Sun Sphere, put it out there.
Yes, exactly.
Eliminates all of the coolness factor of Twilight Imperium.
I saw someone with a fully painted Twilight Imperium set.
I've seen those too. They're okay, but the thing is that all the ships look exactly the same.
Well,
so
he made his look very different based on
cool.
color,
oh,
and he
yeah.
added some bits from some spaceship game.
Yeah,
He replaced one of the fleets. He replaced completely.
I've seen it done where people have taken spaceship games and replaced them. Like, so I think how many factions are there? There's like
nine.
Yeah,
there's a fuck ton.
There's like 10 factions. So what he did was he took 10 different the spaceships, like factions, and just made them for each one a different one. It was really cool, but I was like, fuck that.
Well, I mean, if Twilight Imperium's your game.
Yeah, if that's your jam, man, that's the way to do it.
Yeah, you should go ham.
Yeah, I would definitely recommend the Meeples project if you see it on Kickstarter. Really cool looking, enjoyed it quite a bit. Oh, and speaking of getting advice from podcasts about stuff, I wanted to have a small little Joe's rant about this. There's two
Is
things
it about the Big Bang Theory.
Well, what are we gonna say about the Big Bang Theory?
Well, I don't know. I thought maybe there was something new.
No, the game that show's been on for like 10 years.
Ugh.
Nothing you say will ever deter anybody who watches the Big Bang Theory from not watching the Big Bang
Theory.
No,
I actually just
I saw it and it was funny, but
the clip thing. But this is actually the thing that no one has seen. Someone made this comment in response to that video.
Yeah,
and he's like, "I have a revelation, thanks to this article, breaking one of my few absolute rules. I read the comments section, and now I know why the show has been so enormously successful. In the comments, there's a single recurring theme spoken by those in defense of the show. It's not funny to you because you're not smart enough to get it. And that is the key to understanding the Big Bang Theory's success. It makes stupid people feel smart. You will never go broke if you can achieve that. And it seems that the Big Bang Theory has done that like no one before."
Oh, yeah. 100%.
So there you go.
I agree with that.
All right, so carry on.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so my rant. Now, Steve and I do a comedy podcast. This is not, like, a real gaming podcast.
No.
No, we can actually give two shits about any game out there. Like, we have our games that we like playing, and, you know, we like looking at other games and kind of just telling
you. Yeah, I love Arena Rex. I think Arena Rex is awesome. Anything I endorse, I fully endorse, like, on my own.
You go all the way, yeah.
Right. And anything I hate, I legitimately hate.
Yeah. I'm not quite that bad. But there are so many games podcasts out there that all they do is they give advice about, like, they play 40K, and they will give you nothing but advice about 40K. There are so many inherent problems to that. To list off a couple. One, there's a lot of player bias. So if you're listening to a 40K podcast and they're playing in a specific area, so let's say West Chicagoland. People have a certain way of playing out here. There's a metagame out here that has a certain thing. So if you are a player in New Zealand listening to a podcast that takes place in Western Chicago, the play style here is going to be very different than the play style out in New Zealand.
Right.
That's one of the things. You should never take advice based on a metagame like that. It's ridiculous. It's never going to achieve anything. Number two, most people don't know the rules of a game. It is physically impossible, I believe, just mentally, to remember every single fucking rule in a miniatures game. Or any game, really.
Well, especially when it comes to other army special rules.
Yeah, other army special
rules.
I think
knowing the core rules back to front is actually very achievable. But knowing all of the every army special rules, that's pretty asinine.
Well, I mean,
for, I'm sure someone does. But I mean, not, that's by far the exception.
Well, I mean, for example, I was playing a game last night, and in the game, I've played this game for 3 years now, and in the game, it said the maximum highest leadership you can roll is a 10. I never knew that fucking rule. I always thought, like, well, 11, you could roll an 11 because a 12 is an automatic failure. And 11, yeah, I didn't know. So, but I've been playing this game for 3 years and that rule had never come up until someone pointed it out to me. And I was like, God damn it. But it just goes to show you that these people who are telling you these rules in the game have absolutely, there are things that they are missing. Mm-hmm. Guaranteed 100% missing.
Or misinterpreting.
Misinterpreting, too.
Yeah, because I mean, we actually played an entire tournament of a card game where everyone was new to the card game, and we all did a rule wrong. We all followed the same rule, so it was fair, because everyone was following the same rule, yeah. But everyone was playing incorrectly.
Yeah, it happens all the time. You have to be so careful. And, like, the only reason I'm putting this up there is because people come up to me quite often in my gaming, and they say, like, well, on this podcast, they said this is really good. And I'm like, no, it's not. If you look at the actual... these guys are probably playing in a meta game where this is good.
Gaming is dominated predominantly by results-oriented thinking.
Yeah.
And results-oriented thinking leads to false conclusions constantly in everything.
Yeah.
But in games specifically, you're like, well, I played these Plague Marines with plasma guns, and they've never done anything good for me. Thergo, ipso facto, Plague Marines with plasma guns are bad.
Yeah.
But numbers-wise, like, if you go off just the math, the raw data, they are the best choice. Just because you had bad luck with them,
yeah,
you're playing in a game that involves a lot of variance, it doesn't make them bad. They're still the best choice. You should still use them if you're trying to optimize your chances of victory.
Yeah.
Because optimizing your chances of victory in any game is reducing your variance. And you reduce your variance by doing things that are optimal.
And that you're absolutely right. Take optimal, figure it out, and if it's not working for you and everyone's saying this is optimal, figure out how to make it optimal.
Or determine why it's failing for you. Like,
yeah.
Like, realize that, oh, wait. Yeah, you're right. They've never done good for me because I always roll like shit for them. Like Terminators. Yeah. Terminators are a great example. I took Terminators in a lot of my lists because they're very powerful. Multi-meltas with Chaos. They have the combi meltas. So, like, you could deep strike them next to, like, a tank that's behind terrain and just nuke the shit out of them. Like, great move. My personal luck with Terminators was poor. I would frequently fail their saving throws with, like, I'd roll ones. Like, they'd take five wounds, I'd grab five dice, and I'd roll five ones. So, yeah. Like, I'd lose all my Terminators.
Yeah, that's a bad dice roll. That's not
make
bad
the Terminators bad. The Terminators are still the best choice. I still brought them in every list. And you know what? Sometimes they single-handedly won me the game.
Yeah.
When the dice didn't fall against me, they were unstoppable.
So, to end this small rant right here, don't listen to anyone's podcast but us. That's what I'm saying right there.
But, Joe, I want to hear things about Magic the Gathering.
I want to know what's the most optimal towel list to take.
I assume as many battle suits as possible.
Yeah.
And just use Gundam kits instead of towel models.
Teus. Okay. Oh, and one last small rant. This is about vaping in game stores. God damn it, people.
Like, you vape, I get it.
No, I'm going to include another thing on there. Vaping and dipping in game stores. Now, if you are playing at someone's house and it is their house, it's their rules. If they want to smoke, vape, dip, do whatever they want in their house, let them do it. Or if they're at a friend's house who allows it, that's fine. At a game store, there is nothing more disgusting than someone coming up and playing up against someone who is dipping in the middle of a game. You're like, God damn it. Like, is this like a psych play?
Well,
are you doing this to psych me out because of your disgusting dip cup?
Luckily, that's only ever going to happen if you're playing miniatures games, because I've never encountered that kind of shenanigans with anything other than old-ass grognardy grognards. And especially because you're in, like, the historical levels, you're talking, like, super grognard. Now, the vape.
No, the vaping is...
The vaping is out of hand.
It's so out of hand. Like,
it's going to get banned in Illinois soon, though.
I don't think... That doesn't matter. It's the vaping during a game. It's like...
Well, no. It's going to get banned indoors. Like, they're not going to be able to do it.
But isn't it already banned indoors?
No.
A lot of places are very lax. But besides that point, the problem is that back in the day when, you know, when we used to smoke, it's like you play your game, and then it's like in between turns, you're like, hey, you want to go out for a victory? And then we go out and have a cigarette and come back and play.
Yeah, that's only because we couldn't smoke inside.
Yeah, but that's, but even then, it was...
Back in the day, they definitely used to smoke in the comic shop while we played Magic together.
But even still, it's like, you could take time out and go do it. If you can't play your game without vaping in the middle of it, you have a fucking problem.
I also can honestly say, like, as someone who used to smoke,
yeah,
and has used a vaporizer before, the odor of smoke is pungent and strong, and, yeah, and it does stick to you. Like, it carries with you a little bit. Yeah. Doesn't compare to the permeance of vape. Like, that stuff seeps into everything. Like, your entire outfit smells like blueberries for some reason.
Well, it's because whatever they use like is, like, sticky.
Oh, it's like... It's an oil.
It's like a sticky, like, and
there,
oil, yeah.
There's you can actually get something from vaping called Aqualung.
Ba-da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I thought of.
Sitting on a park bench.
Or maybe it's wet lung.
Watching,
I don't know,
little girls with ill intent.
Yeah. Locomotive breath is a sweet song. Yeah, so that's a thing. I agree. I think the vaping is a little out of control. Also, like, it's better for you than smoking, quote unquote. Which is probably true, but smoking's really fucking bad for you.
Yeah.
However, it still, like, stings your eyes and, like, you know, gets in the fucking way and, like, you know, makes things reek. I don't know. If I were a game store owner, I wouldn't allow it.
Well, but the problem is probably most game store owners vape.
Oh, that is true. If you were doing it in your store, your customers are going to have to follow your example. So,
yeah,
you know, that's
yeah. You know, but I don't see it quite that often. I see it more at tournaments than anything else, and I'm just kind of like,
yeah. I am someone who well, I used to use portable disposable cigarettes. They looked like cigarettes,
yeah,
but they were just electronic.
Yeah.
I used those and I smoked indoors with those. But the key with those is they have no scent.
Yeah.
They're no odor. And they don't produce, like, the giant cloud,
yeah,
like those big-ass thick vaporizers do.
You vape.
Right, yeah. We don't, there's no huge cloud. So I used those, and I never felt bad about using those because they didn't smell like anything. There was no, you know, and there was, like I said again, there was no giant cloud around me. So, like, I could easily, like, look down, puff on it real quick, blow it out the side while not looking, yeah, and then put it in my pocket, and no one really would be the wiser. And if that's what they were doing, that's fine. But the key is so many of these people are smoking this goddamn, like, fruity concoction. It's like, why does it smell like burning cappuccino? Oh, that guy's vaping over there.
All right, let's move on. We got a couple more things to cover. We don't have a lot of time left. Well, we have all the time in the world, Steve.
I mean, relatively.
Relatively. Okie doke. We have the Kickstarter for the army dog tags, the 30K army dog tags, and they're gonna get sued. Don't give them your money.
Yeah, they'll need your Kickstarter donation for their legal fees.
Yeah, don't worry about that one. Super Dungeon Explorer on Steam. That looks pretty cool. Did you see that?
Yeah, someone made a comment on the Facebook page. It's a video game based off a board game inspired by video games.
The game doesn't look fantastic. When I was looking at it, it looks very, very turn-based-y.
The problem, I already know what the issues and my complaints are going to have that are going to be with that game. That game is based off of an arcade style gameplay. So, like, you even see, like, when they're on the cards, there's joysticks and buttons,
yeah,
and, like, that's a really cool feature. However, why would you make the game, the video game, a recreation of the board game? You should make that video game board game aesthetic, board game characters, but it should be a tournament or an arcade brawler.
No, you're absolutely.
It should be a game where you can hook your joystick up and just run around and, like, mash buttons.
But the way that they're doing it is probably much easier, and you don't have to, you know, put a lot of effort into it. But I do think that what you're talking about would be fantastic.
Right. I mean, Dawn of War got people into 40K, and Dawn of War was not 40K.
No,
it was not. Dawn of War is a great game. I still stand. Dawn of War is a fantastic fucking game. It's super fun. And it got tons of people into 40K. And one of the reasons it got people into 40K is because it was its own game.
Yeah.
And you can get more people into your game if you make a game that is good, that is not necessarily based off your game. War Machine Tactics is the perfect example of what not to do.
Are we doing this for Steve's farts?
No.
So Nikki brought a candle for
War Machine.
I was hoping to cleanse.
No. Nope.
Okay.
War Machine Tactics is a game that is a solid game, I've heard,
but it's very, very close to War Machine's rules.
Yes, that's what, yeah.
It's, it's more of a recreation game.
Yeah.
So people who are going to be interested in recreation games, in general, they're going to be people who already play the game.
Yeah, and they just don't have anybody to play with.
Right, and if you want to expose the general market to your game, you need to make a game first.
Yeah.
And then incorporate the IP. You know, there's like a... But there's a good and wrong way to do it. You know, there's like a right and wrong way to do it, not good and wrong. There's a right and wrong way to do it. Like, you can definitely mess up, make a shitty game that damages the IP because it's like, oh, yeah, I remember that game. It's really bad.
Well, I mean, in a lot of ways, if you could do the video game, and it's essentially Gauntlet Legends, where you just, like, yeah. You have spawning points and you got to destroy...
Or the D&D arcade game.
Yeah, well, not necessarily the D&D arcade game. You could do that. But I'm saying, like, what they're trying to do is more like Gauntlet, where it's like you have a spawning point that's spawning monsters. You could kill the monsters with your team, but the main point is destroy the spawning points. Once the spawning points are destroyed, the big monster boss comes, and you could chase him around the dungeon and take him out. And that's kind
of
what...
It's got a great chibi aesthetic. So.
Yeah, that's the thing they're looking for. And I like the turn-based, because I think I would like that, because I don't get to play the game as much as I like to. But it... I'd kind of like something a little faster, too. I think that'd be fun. All right. Fantasy Flight's the Alien Invasion game finally came out for their End of the World. I played the zombie one, talked about it on the podcast. Absolutely enjoyed it. The Alien Invasion one looks kind of interesting. I kind of want to see what the scenarios are, though, because that game is very scenario-based.
I'm sure there's War of the Worlds style. There's probably Signs or the Gray style. And
yeah, that's what I'm kind of seeing. Like, what movies are they taking from? Hopefully Independence Day. Welcome to Earth.
You'll finally be able to role-play your dream of running around a house going, I am insane with anger.
What?
That's the best thing that happens in the movie Signs. Mel Gibson is running around the house.
I was
just like, I am insane with anger. Independence Day, you can do Jeff Goldblum. The aliens are coming to Earth.
Extinction.
It'll be the end of humanity as we know it.
No, I would role play as Goldblum's father, as Judd Nuss. David, my son, don't you talk to him that way. We have to go to Area 51.
I'd be the guy in the office. Oh my God,
Harvey Firesteve. Yeah,
what
David's
are you
brother.
Doing?
Yeah. Mom,
yeah. Mom, get out of the house.
That could be Randy Quaid.
I'm back. Randy Quaid is insane.
Yeah, but that movie is genius. That movie is fantastic.
So are you super stoked about the next one?
No, not particularly, because the first one is just so note perfect on everything it does.
I'm hoping that they just have the fact that Will Smith is going to be in the new one just completely under wraps.
That could be it too, but I hear he's supposed to be killed. I don't think they would do anything. That movie is so... I know that movie, they would not hold anything under wraps. If Will Smith was in that movie, they'd be using him nonstop. Because that movie's probably so low budget as is that they're...
I don't know. It's probably actually quite high budget. I was talking to someone about the death of creation and interesting movies in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Is because of the budget. Because the average movie's budget is so high now, especially when you take into consideration advertising. Movies have to be blockbusters.
Yeah.
They just have to be, because you know they're spending, when you know like Avengers is, yes, Avengers made a fuck ton of money, but Avengers also cost, like, between the budget of the actual film and the advertising, it's like $500 million. So like, yeah, it made a fuck ton of money, but the movies are, you know, they're close to catastrophic failure. You know, if the movie doesn't make an it has to be a smash, and the key now is you also have to...
That is, it's actually a very big budget movie. It's 200 mil for the budget.
There you go.
That's I was expecting it to be, but I didn't know it was also directed by Roland Emmerich as well.
But that's the thing. Yeah. All of those Hollywood, any of those big movies, they just have to be huge. But the key now is almost all of these big movies are being targeted not just to the States. They're being targeted to China. Because China made the last Transformers movie a gigantic hit.
Oh my God, I think we found a Transformer.
Huge amount of movies. Oh, what are you doing? Oh, we're in China now. Optimus Prime.
I think I'm driving Optimus Prime.
There's actually Chinese fan service in that movie, because there's a big chunk of that movie that happens in Hong Kong, I think.
Yeah, well, they're always doing that now, but that's...
Yeah, so that's the thing. That's where the, like, where you're never going to see the...
Don't you want to see the Romans versus Chinese movie that they have coming out with Adrian Brody as the evil Roman general?
So weird.
It looks so fantastic.
I'll probably watch it.
Oh, yeah.
But it's so weird. It was just very weird seeing a movie that was completely subtitled in Mandarin. And I'm like, because I saw the trailer for it pop up on YouTube, but it was all Mandarin. The trailer was Mandarin.
I'm like,
why the fuck are there Americans in this?
Except Adrian Brody is a Roman soldier speaking English. Subtitled as Mandarin.
There are English actors speaking English in it.
So great.
And I was
so
just like,
great.
Huh, okay. I'll watch that.
I mean, it would make more sense if he was speaking Latin,
right?
And then it was subtitles.
I always wanted to. I don't know if a movie exists in that manner, but I always wanted to see a movie where there were multiple races going at one another, and rather than speaking English, they were all just speaking their language subtitled, like Latin. They're fighting Germans, Greeks, whatever.
Just making fun of you. Oh, Steve, nunc lento siento de cunt morieres. And you're like, shut up, I don't speak Latin.
I would just stab them, because it's prehistory.
Oi!
So just club them to death with my rock.
With my rock. Take that.
And then it'll be like, laugh at that, pretty man. And then I would eat his brain and get a prion disease. So you'll never see a movie like Alien again. Like, you'll never see a movie that, is a risk like that, because...
I don't know. Ex Machina is not a risk, and that movie's fantastic.
But that movie also has a small budget, and also didn't...
Yeah, but Alien had a small budget, too.
Alien had a pretty decently sized budget at the time. The amount of money to produce any movie has gone up so much. Because of advertising and stuff, what you can afford to take a risk on is so different than what it used to be.
I will disagree, because there's a lot of small budget sci-fi movies that have come out that have been very, very, very good.
I can't think of a small budget sci-fi movie.
Moon.
Well, Moon was an indie movie.
Yeah, but they're all small budget.
But it's an indie movie. I'm saying you're never going to see a movie produced by Fox, Universal. Any of the big studios are not going to produce
I'll give you that. But that's the thing. It's big studios end up dying then, because they can't handle that. And the smaller studios, places that used to be like Miramax or Lionsgate. What's the other one? Well, those are just
doesn't fucking matter, because everything coming out is a goddamn superhero movie. So.
Yeah, but what they do is they get bigger by creating these smaller budget movies that do well.
I really like the movie Moon.
Yeah, and then they get usually absorbed into the studio process. But besides the point, all right, let's get back into this, because if I got to listen to you complain about the movie studios again, I'm going to shoot myself.
So you mean I should immediately start complaining about movie studios again?
Yeah.
I'm also not cleaning up your corpse.
Golem Arcana is finally dying. You saw that?
I did.
Yeah, and they announced that they're saying, hey, look, this is the last expansion we're doing. They're doing a big sale on all of their stuff. They're clearing out their inventory. Admirable.
I would say so.
The system was dumb. I'm not going to lie.
I'm not big on those tech integration games.
No, I am completely against tech integration. I will fight those to the death until I see it done well. But yeah, they're doing it. I've always kind of liked the minis. I thought they were really cool designs. The pre-paints were terrible. You had to repaint your shit. But,
yeah.
Well, not really, but I had to repaint my shit.
I just didn't get any, so.
No, but they're really cool, though. They're giant, not Lovecraftian, but giant,
clockwork guys.
Yeah. It was kind of Bloodborne-esque things, video game-y, Japanese, crazy-looking things. I like the design work on the game. The game itself was just poop to me. And finally, I think we can end on this one, because we can poop all over it, and we can make it short because we're just pooping all over it. But have you seen the next 40K army?
There's a new 40K army?
No. It's not a new one. It's resculpts of Space Wolf.
I've seen they're reusing their classically super old sprues in hobby kits.
Yes.
Like for hobby stores.
And they're super cheap, too, so people are getting really excited about it. The Space Wolf's new plastic wolf figures, those are awful. Well, they've never really had good Wolfen models to begin
with.
That
is hilarious.
They look so bad. You probably need 40 of them in your army, so.
Wow. And I know as soon as I see, whenever I see models that are just dog shit, that are indefensibly bad, like these are indefensibly bad. They're just bad.
No, I will agree with you. They're indefensibly bad.
Every time I see a model like this, I know immediately that there's going to be someone who's just going to be like, there's two. There's going to be, I don't find them that bad, or they are probably really good if you do this. Or they're like, I like them. Or some other, like, mouth-breathing, GW, dong-sucking.
They're just photographed bad.
Yeah, like, no. They're fucking terrible. They're awful miniatures. They're going to charge a premium for them. I mind it because I don't buy them. But I understand when Games Workshop charges a premium for a model that's incredible, that's really, really good, or a kit that's really, really good. This one is going to be top-tier pricing for a sculpt that looks worse than Mantic sculpts.
Yeah.
Bam. No. Just threw the gauntlet fucking down.
Yeah, no, now I'm one of those guys that will, you're a little more harsher on GW sculpts than I am. I sometimes like GW sculpts.
I sometimes
really
do as well. But I thought those Chaos Knights were amazing.
Oh, yeah, those were great.
They're not worth $100 for three of them,
no.
But they're really amazing.
Yeah, no, those are really great. By the way, that Archeon on that
this
dragon
thing is
so stupid.
It's so dumb.
I mean, like, I like the sculpt itself. I think it's okay, but it's just like, what's the point? This thing is dumb.
It's dumb.
But yeah,
put him on the fucking horse.
Yeah, that original Archeon model on horse is awesome.
Yeah, it's a great model.
And even if you wanted to put him on,
it oozes everything that's
cool about
chaos.
Exactly, it fits the aesthetic. Now this big plastic monstery would like it's a good okay. So it's a good like Hydra / Chimera thing. It's good for that. I mean, it's not worth $100. For this hunk of plastic, because you never want...
I think it's actually $180.
Yeah, $180, because you never actually want to have a Chimera that big on the table for any other purpose. But to put Archeon on top, it just looks weird. The heads and the necks are too small to fit this giant Cassie guy.
Yeah, because they look like greater demon heads.
It's so dumb.
I'm not a fan. Not a fan?
No, it's
now,
no.
If it was just a three-headed dragon...
Oh, that would be really
that
cool.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
They could even get away with the giant size, because then it's a fucking dragon.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that model is drops the ball on many, many things. And it also has that weird kind of, like, chunky, blocky look that all of their large CAD figures have.
Yeah, because they don't do any sort of fine-tuning on their CAD. They just basically are like, meh, blorp, blorp, beep, done.
Bleep, blorp, doop, done.
Yeah. Oh, no, this looks so cool. Then why does it still have the thumbprint on it?
Yeah, you know what giant model looks really great? The Mumic. The Mumic looks really great.
Oh, that looks fantastic. And by the way, when I'm saying thumbprint, it's not necessarily like from a person's thumb. It's a part of the CAD process that they just never refine because they're like, fuck it, we gotta push this out, push it out, push it out. You see them really bad on the dwarf gyrocopters. So yeah, this wolfen thing, yeah, this is just Space Wolf players, prepare your anus. However, most Space Wolf players probably already have...
They're probably all excited about it anyway.
Yeah.
Most Space Wolf players are just like, oh, this is sweet!
Oh, man, I can't wait to put this with my Lemon Russ!
Dude, bro, I can't wait. I'm gonna do real Viking runes on them. Be real Viking. Viking. Icelandic. Scandinavia. Viking.
Yeah.
Axes. Thor. Odin.
If I had a voice, I'd sing.
White people who are super into Norse mythology are really weird.
I was talking about this with Dave, and I was just like, there was a point where I was like, yeah, I'm looking at different tattoos that I'd want to get, and I'm like, oh, something Viking would be really cool, and then it's like, you just go online and research it, you're like, oh, these are all really white supremacist symbols now, I can't use these at all.
Yep, that's also true.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I really like, you know, it's like, I really like Thor and Odin and all this stuff, it's like, all no, it's so tied to white supremacy, you can't use any of that shit anymore. Yep. Nope, 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 nope.
Yep.
Yeah, so way to go, Nazis. You ruined it again.
Well, I mean, Nazis were really inspired
by... Well, neo-Nazis, you know what I'm saying.
Well, you're right. I mean, but that's just the natural extrapolation off of what, you know, what Adolf Hitler was inspired by. Yeah. The Übermensch, the concept of Ragnarok and the Norse gods.
And Bauhaus music.
And Wagner.
And Wagner. Bauhaus. Hasselhoff.
Dun, 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 dun.
So I'm doing... In the class, one of the classes that I teach, we're doing a project on walls, like the symbolic use of walls. And we're doing research project on different walls from different parts of the world in different times. And one of them is the Berlin Wall. So I showed him the video of David Hasselhoff singing Freedom as the walls came down.
Oh, I'm sure everyone enjoyed that.
Oh, I was the only one. Well, we were watching a video on them pulling down the Berlin Wall. And I'm like, well, none of you guys will be born for 15 years after this wall comes down. But it's like, this was a big deal. And then you see him up there singing like, freedom! Everybody love freedom! I'm dancing like Hasselhoff was dancing on the wall. I always think of him in Eurotrip.
Should have been Tom Jones.
No, everyone loves Hasselhoff in Germany.
Everyone hassles off.
Tom Jones, he's Welsh. He's a Welshman. All right, everyone.
Welshy!
Go to planetarbitrary.com for all your Planet Arbitrary needs. You can follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You can follow Steve at the Game Classy Facebook page. You could also like us on YouTube. You can like, comment, and subscribe on iTunes, which is the best way to help out the podcast. Or you could follow us on our Twitter, rgameclassy. You could also like our sister podcast on the Planet Arbitrary feed, where we have Comic Book Logic, which I host with my buddy Kevin, where we talk about comic book movies. Next week, we're going to be putting up the Punisher, the Thomas Jane Punisher.
Oh, why not the Dolph Lundgren Punisher?
Because it's not on Netflix.
Nice. I think I own a copy of that if you want to borrow it.
It's on Netflix. It doesn't
matter. I actually watched that movie not too long ago, the Dolph Lundgren Punisher.
Oh, yeah.
It's not that bad.
Oh, it wasn't a bad
movie.
It's
really not. No. I don't know why. Because, I mean, I expected to see, like, a David Hasselhoff, Nick Fury level. Yeah.
No, it's not a terrible movie. Not at all. It suffers from that, like, late. It's a movie that should have been made in 1987 that was made, like, in 1991, and it was, like, 4 or 5 years too late what they were trying to do.
I think
it
sounds right.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I say the Roger Corman Fantastic Four movie is great if it was made in 1985. Except it was made in 1995, terrible.
It also never came out.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying.
But you could tell they really tried. They really tried with that movie.
It's actually not a terrible movie, but it's a terrible movie for 1995.
Right.
Yeah. Aside from that. And also on the Planet Arbitrary feed, you can find Pat's Retro Video Game Review Podcast, a.k.a. Play On, where Steve just masturbates over his Wii U the entire episode.
So good.
It's so good. Oh, that and Undertale.
Everyone's masturbating over Undertale.
They really are. I kind of want to play it now because it's like how everyone is masturbating over Undertale.
It's really good. It's funny.
Over Undertale.
The music is fantastic. Music's real good.
Did you hear about
the fan base is obviously miserable, but that's any fan base.
Yeah. Did you hear that they pulled the Five Nights at Freddy's game off Steam because it was so bad?
No, Scott Cawthorn pulled it off himself.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not that bad. It was getting mediocre reviews and was selling really well, but it was like not perfect reviews. And that dude is like a crazy perfectionist.
Yeah.
So he not only pulled the game down of his own volition, he's offering full refunds and he's going to re-release the game for free.
Isn't that that's awesome? Yeah.
And by all accounts, from what I've heard, people were just like, it's not bad. Like, yeah. I heard it was like it's not bad. It's a spinoff game, and he was very transparent about it being a spinoff game. And a lot of the people shitting on the game wanted it to be another Five Nights at Freddy's game, which it wasn't.
Yeah,
because it was supposed to be a spinoff JRPG. So he does not take criticism well. So he pulled the game down. He's like, I'm going to fix it. I'm going to put it back up. So
yeah, he's got to have our form of criticism that, where it's just like, ha ha, yeah, we suck.
Right now, just be like, we're going to make a sequel and it's going to be even worse.
Yeah. Fuck you guys.
Yeah, that'd be responsible. We're going to make a sequel. We're going to do all sorts of improvements and just release the same game with a different title screen.
It's all going to be in Imperial units.
Yeah,
Nah, I thought that was cool.
That's more power to him. I mean, that's what the guy wants to do. That's what the guy wants to do. I mean, I know he's made enough money off of the first five Five Nights at Freddy's, so he can afford to
also
do something like that.
And it's got like a Hollywood. He's made so much money off of it. He's probably optioned it in Hollywood, and they got a bunch of other stuff.
There's a movie coming.
Yeah,
there's a movie coming. I mean, it's a brilliant concept.
I prefer my five fingers on my Freddy.
Ew. I didn't know you felt the way about animatronics and/or furries and/or furry animatronics. Maybe are you a subsect where it's only animatronic furries?
Oh, those people probably do exist.
I'm sure they do. There's people who want to fuck cars, and I don't mean like the Pixar cars. I just mean literal cars.
Yeah.
Like they want to have sex with cars.
Yeah,
which I assume means just putting a fleshlight in the exhaust.
I was just kind of making a reference to my five fingers around my penis, but that's my Freddy, and then my five fingers around Freddy.
Well, it
Freddy.
Fell flat because now I'm thinking that you're gonna bang animatronic.
Happy birthday! Happy birthday!
You're the birthday boy or girl.
Three Simpsons references. What is this? Comic book logic? All right. So, Steve.
I don't know what I'm doing.
Steve, until next time.
If you keep going on the way you're doing, you're going to have a bad time.
Game classy.